Kof Vov Tishrei, Monday the 30th of September, Rabbi Yehoshua Fricker's Financial Dealings with a Business Owned by the Church. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Silver, Le'ilu Nishmos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Reb Chaim Yisrael HaKohen Zichron Levrocha, Reb Chaim Yisrael ben Reb Yaakov HaKohen Zichron Levrocha.
Morning to everyone. I hope we've all had a very inspiring Yom Tov season, Yom Tovim, and in this warm weather will maybe give us the momentum to carry it through this very long winter that we have ahead of us, Ibuyar. The topic is dealing with goods, services, etc., doing business, with things, services provided by a tumah. And we might speak a little bit more Muslim, the Kedushas HaMokim and the Beis HaMedrash after all, but I think it will be very clear what we're referring to. Now, the impetus for this Dvar Halacha was a shaila that I had, and I think it occurs, maybe people might encounter this shaila now and again. The shaila I had was as follows. When I was trying to research sort of family history, so there's various museums, various archives one can look. So there is an Eretz Yisrael, the Bet HaTfutzot, the Aspera Museum, I think it's called. But there's obviously a lot of archives in Poland, Eastern European archives. Now, a lot of them are held in microfilm. Nowadays they've been microfilmed. So they're not too difficult to get hold of. So Bet HaTfutzot is the most obvious place to look. Okay, so there they do have a lot of the archives, which they have got from a lot of them from the Polish archives. However, a lot of the archives which have been microfilmed, they did not have. Where are they? They are held by the LDS. The Tumah of the LDS, think Mr. Romney, as a Remez. It's a certain denomination of the Goyim. And the reason that they have these microfilms, they went to the effort and expense to record these archives, is because one of their beliefs is that a person can be baptized even after death. So therefore, for them, it's a very big, they do a lot of effort to encourage people to join their database. Obviously, the more people they have on the database, the more people then can be mechayev with baptism. Now, a lot of they have given over. I think Bet HaTfusot, a lot of what Bet HaTfusot have actually does come from this the LDS, but a lot of it apparently they haven't given over. They still have. And one particular microfilm that I wanted, which I know they do have, is held is only by the LDS and is not held. Bet HaTfusot don't have it. So my question was,
the synagogue of the Latter Day Saints.
Yes.
The Mormons in Utah.
Right. Okay. Thank you for enlightening us. Good, you asked. If it wasn't clear, the Remez. Now the question is, they charge a fee to provide this microfilm. Question is it mutter for one to pay them and buy this microfilm, or rent the microfilm as it really is? Really, that's one half of the shayla. The second half, even if one is allowed to, then the only way to get it is one has to go on the premises. They have it on their premises. It's really a shayla. I gave a Torah away a while back about the dinim of entering a premises of a tumah, so that we won't go into. We're going to discuss the general shayla about paying for goods and services, financial dealings, with a tumah. So what we really want to do is to develop the sugya, see the different svaras and the shittas, but obviously for a final halachic ruling requires further iyun and consultation with poskim. Place to look is, unsurprisingly, Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Sugya in Avodah Zarah.
What is your possible objection to paying them a fee?
Very good. That's exactly what we're going to find in this Mishnah, in Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph on the base, the bottom, you have in front of you, Ish Yesh Po Avodas Krechovim. It's a city which has a day of celebration for Avodah Zarah. Sorry, that's not the one, is it? No, sorry, it's your base on the base. Ishish Voidus Kechovim, it starts the same. Sitiush has in it a celebration for Voidus Zara. Vahoyu ba, Chanuyois, Mutarois, Sheinon Mutarois. Had in it shops, some which were adorned, which were decorated, and some which were not decorated. Zeo Maisa, Beis Shan. So the story which happened in Beis Shan. Vahomru Chachom, and Chachom said, Hamutarois, Asurois. Those which are decorated are forbidden. She'enon mu'utarois, those which are not decorated, mu'utarois. Rashi explains that, Rashi in the Mishnah says, v'hoyu b'chayinuyos mu'utarois, v'simen hu lahem sh'oison chanuyos shel avoidas kechovim heim lito mehen meches. These which have been decorated are there, and there to provide taxes on the purchases from those shops. A certain percentage of the purchase, there will be a tax which will go to the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, as we'll see now in the Gemara, there's a question of problem of the Avodah Zarah deriving a benefit, a hanah, from your purchase. That actually is the machloikis in the Gemara as to what is pshat. Rashi took on the maskona pshat in Gemara. Shlokish says, Omer Shimon Shlokish in the Gemara, Lo Yishonu Elam Utaris Vered V'Hadas. The decoration here is only if it's Hadasim, Vered Roses, the Komisani Merecha. Someone entering the shop, having benefit from the smell of these things which are there, these decorations, which are for the purpose of glorifying Avodah Zarah, of having Hanah from Avodah Zarah. However, Mutaris Beperos is only decorated with fruit Mutaris. My time, why is Rosh Chodesh making this nafkuminis distinction between whether it's got decorated with these besomim, which give a nice smell on benefits, or if it's just simple peiros? Rosh Chodesh says, "Omakor lo yidbag biyodchem u'umo menachirim neh neuda osa avu mahane shori." Rosh Chodesh says that the Torah asks lo yidbag biyodchem u'umo menachirim. One isn't allowed to obtain anything from an avodah zarah, and therefore the Torah is only forbidding neh. Having a benefit from an Avodah Zarah. Aval Mahaneh, to give benefit to an Avodah Zarah, sorry, that's Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan argues, if you continue to the bottom of that same page, Omar, Afilu, Mutaris, Peirois, Nami Osa. Even if these shops are only decorated with Peirois, it's also forbidden to purchase from them, Nami Osa. Why? Kalvachoyma nehna osa. If the Torah forbids having hanah from Avodah Zarah, mahane lekol shekein. Even more so, the Torah would forbid one to provide, to give benefit to Avodah Zarah. So right from here we see, gentlemen, I think I hope this resolves the problem, what the problem may be in purchasing these microfilms, because the problem in the Gemara, maskon of the Gemara, is Rabbi Yochanan, that it's forbidden to give hanah to an Avodah Zarah. That what was hanah here? Hanah here was when one purchases something from this shop, and a certain percentage is going to go as a tax to the Avodah Zarah, and that's forbidden to purchase. So we see from here a din that's forbidden to provide hanah from Avodah Zarah, even in what is essentially a business deal, one's purchasing, buying something from the shop. So, on the one hand, we do see a potential problem with buying something from Avodah Zarah. However, the Rishonim, which some of them mentioned in Tosfos, if you look at the next page, I think, in front of you, Tosfos Mendalad on the base, their Tosfos, we're just going to jump to the middle. Just read three lines at the moment from it. About halfway through, V'oid nir l'rabbeinu tam. Tosfos, sorry, Damascus Nehenin. A long Tosfos there. Sorry, it's not marked. It's just V'oid nir l'rabbeinu tam. About halfway through Tosfos. D'mashonu oifin ato betanu shel koimrin v'toichanin b'rechaim shel mayim shelhem. That which we now have minug to bake, as we all know, that people had, there was public ovens, people had private ovens in their home, and the minhag was, Rabbeinu Tam says, to bake in the oven provided by the local Avodah Zarah, and toichin b'rechaim shemayim shalhem, use their mills. Rabbeinu Tam then gives a svar lahatir. Rabbeinu Tam, however, clearly is saying that there was a minhag to rent things from Avodah Zarah. Similarly, the Modcha, he gives other examples, to go to their fields and buy their peiros. Basically, Rishonim say the minhag is to do business with Avodah Zarah. Question is, therefore, how to resolve this with the Mishnah that we just saw, the Gemara, that it's forbidden to give Hanah to Avodah Zarah, even in something which is essentially a business transaction. So how do we resolve this contradiction? On one hand, we have the minhag where we see we do every day, it's everyday occurrence, people do business with Avodah Zarah, and the Mishnah seems to say that that's awesome. So in order to resolve that, we have to develop a few yisoidas based on another Gemara. Now the Gemara is really a Mishnah later on, an Aleph on the base, but it also appears on this daf in front of you, so we'll look at it from here. It's the first wide line of the Gemara. V'hotunan. The Mishnah, Avodas Kechavim Sheish Lo Merchatz Oigina, an Avodah Zarah which had on its premises a bathhouse, Oigina, or a garden. This is the first wide line on this handout where we saw the Tosfos. On this page where we saw the Tosfos, Hatanan Avodas Kechavim Sheish Lo Merchatz Oigina, Nehenin Mehen Sheloi Betoiva, VeEin Nehenin Mehen Betoiva. One is allowed to benefit shaloi b'toiva, literally without giving them something, benefit, something good, literally. One's allowed to have use this bathhouse, which is located right, the premises of Avodah Zarah, provided that's shaloi b'toiva. We'll see exactly what that means. V'einen in b'hen b'toiva. One is not allowed to have this benefit, in other words, use this bathhouse b'toiva. Rashi explains, what is this b'toiva and shaloi b'toiva? So Rashi, on the source of it, well, not from the base where this Mishnah is to be found, Rashi says, you don't have it in front of you, I'll read it out. One is not allowed to pay for the use of this bathhouse. That's what it means. So betoiva means paying. One is paying for the use of this bathhouse. That's forbidden. But if it's shaloi b'toiva, one is using it for free, then that is permitted. That's how Rashi learns. And this is in line with the first sugya that we saw. Paying for goods or services to an Avodah Zarah. That's also, so therefore, if one is using the bathhouse without paying, it's fine. If one has to pay for it, doing business with them, that's forbidden. However, Rabbeinu Tam learns punkvaket. Bein Tam learns on the lines of Rashi, which we have in front of us, Mendalas on the base. Rashi there says, Shaloi Betoiva means, Rashi doesn't say that you don't pay. Rashi says, Shaloi Yachzik Toiva Lekoimrim. What does that mean? So Bein Tam and Rishonim explain that when is it forbidden? What does it mean, Betoiva? It means with gratitude. It means the guy is providing it for free. And allowing you to use it, and you use it, and therefore you feel a sense of gratitude to the Avodah Zarah, you feel indebted to the Avodah Zarah. As a result, the person will be more susceptible to be influenced by them, and receive something good from them. That is forbidden. Betoiva means one feels a sense of gratitude, it was for free. Then it's forbidden to benefit, to use this bathhouse. However, if one had to pay for it, one doesn't feel that sense of being indebted, it's mutter. As we know, that's the derech of the Avodah Zarah. You go around the social services for free. That's the way of initial stages in bringing people on board to their beliefs. A person feels that sense of Hakaras HaTov, feels indebted. As the Mishli says in Rav, Seinacha Hachileo Lechem. If one person receives something for free from someone, one feels that sense of being indebted. So it says Rabbi Tam and other Rishonim, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. Punkvaket, we saw Rashi himself says later on. In other words, Rashi said, in line with the first mission we saw in Daf Yud, based on the base, that where you pay, that's forbidden. That's giving a nod to the Avodah Zarah. If you don't pay, that's permitted. However, Rabbi Tam and other Rishonim say that if you pay, that's permitted. However, if you don't pay, you get it for free as a service, feel gratitude to them, that is forbidden. Question is then, like Rabbeinu Tam saying it's mutter if you pay the bathhouse, how do we resolve this now with the first Mishnah which says the way you go into a shop where there's going to be a tax, going to the Avodah Zarah, that's forbidden. One's giving Hanas to Avodah Zarah. What is the difference? How do we resolve this contradiction? So pshat is that when one is doing business, essentially the citizen going to a bathhouse and paying for goods and services, that doesn't constitute a hanor. That's business. This one's giving, this one's getting. We even find the Gabi Muda hanor in the Dorim that it's not always clear that the ikka hanor goes to the seller, sometimes ikka hanor goes to the purchaser. But essentially the yisoid is that a business, or a person's buying something, so the Moicha is giving up something essentially and getting money in return, that is not considered a hanor. You're giving hanor. However, and therefore it's mutter. When a person goes to the bathhouse, this is just a business, buying a service, that's permitted. Where is it forbidden to see your base from a base? That's a tax. There, you've bought the payers, and from there levy a tax which is going to go to Avodah Zarah. So this is purely going to fund, to support Avodah Zarah. It's a clear tax, which when you're purchasing, you know, and it's going, a certain part of it, to fund Avodah Zarah's as... This is really, obviously, beyond the purchase price, and therefore that is a clear hanor, which is going to the Avodah Zarah. But just a regular business, mekach memka with Avodah Zarah, that's permitted. That is Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. However, we saw Lechoyer and Rashi, it's upon Rashi later on, even in the case of the bathhouse, where one is doing a regular, paying goods and services, regular business, that is also forbidden. So the question is, how do we resolve that, Shittas Rashi, it says you can't use the bathhouse even if one is paying. How do we resolve that? But the minhag brought down the Rishonim, where one, for example, he says one rents their ovens, the Malchus says one goes to their fields, one goes to their shops, and buys their produce. How do we resolve that? According to Rashi, it seems to forbid even regular business transactions. So, one mahalach to be miyashav is to be found further on in this Tosus. We have here this Tosus, the Maskal Ne'enin. Tosus well, if we continue, we saw Tosus says for Oid Nirei Abeinu Tam, where he brought the minhag. And Tosus says that afilu sheloi bischav. Just jumped a bit further. Oid Nirei Abeinu Tam. The mashon of koyfin ato betano, oifin ato betano shel koyrim taken rechaim maim shalem vaday lekel meichesh. If you pay, it's okay. As we said, that's Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. We don't feel a sense of gratitude. Why? Even if you're not paying, it's also permitted. Why is that so? Since this oven is not to be found on the location, premises of the actual Beis Avodah Zarah, as opposed to this Mishnah where it was, the Merchatz was, this Merch bathhouse was mamish on the premises of the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's mutter. Now, Tosis makes here a distinction as to whether the bathhouse or the oven is located on the premises of the Avodah Zarah, of the Tumah, or whether it wasn't. It was owned by them, but it was not on the actual premises of the Avodah Zarah. What's the svar of the chiluk? So the vuhin rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam means to say is that where the bathhouse is on the premises of Avodah Zarah, one assumes that any profits generated by it goes to fund directly the Avodah Zarah. However, if it is not on the premises, then one assumes that it goes to things affiliated perhaps to the Avodah Zarah to pay the salaries of the priests, Rabbeinu Tam says, for example, and therefore that's mutter. One isn't giving a direct hanor to the Avodah Zarah. It's going for subsidiary purposes, not directly paying and funding the services of the Avodah Zarah. So that's the yisoid of Rabbeinu Tam, where even if we accept that doing business with Avodah Zarah is osa, there's a difference as to whether this, the proceeds of this business goes to fund directly the Avodah Zarah, or it goes to secondary purposes which don't directly fund the Avodah Zarah. And the Moshe Rishonim, in 1 second, is the Koimrim. Well, I think that occurs as far.
To pay the priest's salary, it seems
So it's indirect, you're not giving hana, that's not being the issus to mahana avodah zara, it's a groma, like always we find groma, groma, teira, sorry. Well, there it was, obviously, a real keshkula. One had to adorn it, to clean it, to replace it. Right, we'll get to today, but let's learn the context of the sugya that we're doing here. So then it's a groma, like we find gromas mutta, many halachas and teira. It's just a groma dikahana, then Rabbeinu Tamla, paying the koyman salaries, the pre-salaries is fine.
Rabbeinu Tamlin, 4,000 years ago, is talking about Christianity.
Yes.
He's talking about the church. So
right.
What's the avodah zarah?
Maybe I should have been marked him. I just didn't want to go that.
Assuming it's Avodah Zarah. What would be the actual Takrovis?
Takrovis that they use, incense, and also the upkeep of the actual binyan of that Avodah Zarah, the Geshkulas, plenty of things. Which is Zichel Gadin Avodah Zarah, Issa Hanor. These things are brought in Shane and the Asa Banor. So, Rabbeinu Tam decides. Is that even if we, Rabbeinu Tam himself held that all business is muta, but even if we accept Shittas Rashi, that business is also, that's only the proceeds go directly to the Avodah Zarah, it's only indirect, that is muta. And Rabbeinu Tam says, what's the way of determining whether it's direct or indirect? That depends on the location. If the business is on the location of the Tumah, one can assume it, that's going direct. However, it's not the location, one can assume it's not direct, and therefore, even according to Rashi, we can understand the minhag of using their mills and their ovens, or going to their fields or buying their produce. It's not the location, one assumes that's indirect. However, we have here another shitta in the Rishonim. The Torah brings Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that even paying salaries, takes your svara, paying salaries to avodah zarah, it's also forbidden. The Kohanim are they employed to obviously service the Avodah Zarah. So that's also considered a hanah of the Avodah Zarah. Harabin Tam, therefore, first he says indirect is no difference. If it goes to salaries and it's indirect hanah, that's osa. And further, Rabbein Yonah says that even if it's not on the premises, in other words, once you accept that even indirect hanah is osa, seems it wouldn't be on the premises, and therefore one assumes it's not directly going to fund the Avodah Zarah services, that'd still be also, Rabbeinu Yonah says. So Rabbeinu Yonah argues on this yisoid of Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Al-Khariah was still going to be stuck. How can one resolve the minhag, one does buy produce and services from the Avodah Zarah? There's one further svara mentioned in Rishonim to resolve the minhag, brought in the Modcha. We said that some Rishonim held that business is muta. That's not considered a hanah. Then we said, even if we set like Rashi, business is osa, Rabbeinu Tam says if it's indirect, so for example, going to pay the pre-salaries, or I suppose it would be other social services that they provide to the community, those are indirect, that would be muta. However, we have Rabbeinu Yonah says even indirect is osa. If we're coming to another Svara, to resolve the minhag, when we're showing him, that's Modcha Svara, he says that where, for example, one's going to the field to buy produce, and if this Jew would not have bought the produce, it would be sold anyway to someone else, to a goy. So therefore, by the yid, buying the produce, when he's not giving hanah, we can't say that he's giving hanah, he wouldn't buy it, someone else would have bought it. And similarly, one would rent these ovens and these mills. If today, yid rented it, if he wouldn't, we're going to safely assume that someone else would have rented it. And therefore, it's another svara to be marked, even if we adopt the most chomodik shita, that business is osa and indirect is osa, this is another svara to be marked, and based on the idea that if yid wouldn't have bought paid here for this service or goods, a goy would have anyway. So therefore, we cannot say that the yid is giving a hanah to the avodah zarah. Now, if we try now and plug in these svaras to our original shaila, which we had, let's see where it takes us. Our shaila was paying this LDS for the microfilms, essentially renting it. So if one assumes that Rabbeinu Tam are doing business is muta, so there's no problem, it's just a form of business, it's not considered a hanah, giving a hanah to the Avodah Zarah. However, if one assumes that Rashi, that even business is also the chayyim, there should be also Rashi's business is also. But we have to clear in Rashi, or from the Rabbeinu Tam understood Rashi, is it direct or indirect? One way of determining that was, is it on the location? So Rabbeinu Tam, is that called direct or indirect? So it's very bit difficult, especially in today's context. In this context, let's say, for example, one's buying it online. Is that obviously the website is a website run, and from that perspective, one could say it is a location of the tumma. It's run by the tumma. It's their website. Is that called the location? On the other hand, obviously, one can say that difficult to call that exactly a location of the tumma. Many they could provide many different goods and services via the website. It's not muchach that because it's there on their website, this is going directly to fund, can be called directly in Avodah Zarah. So that's debatable whether that would be a problem if one says it's only also if it's direct. Hano. And if we take the shit of Rabbeinu Yoina, it says even indirect, that would be a problem because it's indirect. It's probably going, if there's any proceeds, what they do with it, the tumma, they use it to fund their services and their goods and the social services, etc. And particularly that this is not just the service that they're providing, it's the favour, this is part, integral part of their beliefs. So even if they reinvest it in this, this is something which is very much, perhaps, a chelik of the Avodah Zarah, a chelik of their service. They use this database for, to promote and to their Avodah Zarah. So that should be a problem. However, though we had the other shitta to fall back on, which was the modcha, where he said even in the most chomodik oifen, he said even indirect is also, he said it's muta where someone else would have done it, now that would have bought it, the guy would have bought it, that's not possible to say that by something which can be provided hundreds of times, a microfilm, a digital piece of information, that can be sold infinitely. So one can't say that because if he wouldn't have bought it, a guy would have, because everyone can buy it, it's not limited in any way. So therefore one can't fall back on the shittas hamodcha. So that is if we try and analyze the shayla based on these different shittas that we saw from the Gemara. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, or conclude the Shulchan Aruch, how the Maisa we paskin. So we have the Shulchan Aruch, Simon, Kufmem Gimel it is, I think. Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch and Seif Gimel brings this Mishnah. Hoya alilim gino imerechatz v'toyva yoyses mehem irakayanim mutter lehonis mehem shaloi v'toyva, as we said, v'also lehonis v'toyva. So before we explain Shulchan Aruch, and it's a little bit sosim, one looks at it just superficially, the Shulchan Aruch adopts the shit of the poiskim that it's forbidden to pay. Toyva means here paying for the services. And the Rama says, it's permitted, in other words, when do we say that it's forbidden to pay, even though it's only going to the priest, now that it's indirect, only if it's on the location. We'll stop there, trying to analyze, it's a bit schwer. On the one hand, the Ramah is adopting the Shitta, saying there is a potential problem going to the priests, which that indicates he's adopting Rabbeinu Yoina, that even if it's going to pay the salaries of the priests, it's also. On the other hand, he still relies on the fact that it depends on the location of the Avodah Zarah. So Chayyim Ramah is a little bit schwer why he adopts on the one hand, indirect is also Rabbeinu Tam, and then he still says it depends on the location. But Al-Kapon Mashmos is, the Ramah wants to be miyashu for Rabbeinu Yoina, in other words, the indirect is also. So even if we're paying the salaries of the priests, it's also. But Rabbeinu Yoina is saying that depends, is still on the location. In other words, one can sort of redefine it further, that a priest, if it's the location of the tumah, so the salary of the income of this business is going to pay directly the salary of the priest to provide the services to the Avodah Zarah. However, if this is not on the location of the tumah, so where this income going to the priest is just his private business. It's owned by a priest, but especially when you know, in those days, the landowners were only the important people, the priests. So therefore, a koyma, priest's own land, not on the location of the tumah, that just went to his private coffers and his mutter. But however, the yisoid seems to be from the Ramah, that even indirect hanav, paying salaries, for example, that would, enoch hanama, be asa. Thank you very much. Yeah.